Brothers and sisters, in the previous session, I spoke about reflecting on anger and quarrels among the works of the flesh. Today, we will look into the things of the flesh committed in our thoughts and hearts. Reflecting on yourself means searching deeply into yourself, and it is searching deeply in the forms of evil in your thoughts and minds, discovering them. We shouldn't just discover them, but we know that they're obviously sins. But people have different feelings about sin. Some people consider sin to be dirty, ugly. Pastor Myung Lee has said they consider them as the excrement. And they so deeply examine themselves. So we need earnest prayer to cast them off. We are reflecting ourselves to discover sins and evil, and to also change our feelings about sins and evil, and ultimately to cast them off quickly. We have many works of the flesh, but so in the previous session, today we will look at the we will go over judgment and condemnation today. We have to discover what we are judging and condemning. When we look at others, we judge others, but we don't realize that we are judging. But we are reflecting ourselves in light of the word of truth. So we have to recognize the. So we may think he did it. And he did so. Judging ourselves that way is a judgment. But sometimes our judgments could be right or could be wrong. Even though our judgment is right, it is still judgment. We may think he did it. He has a lot of evil, and it is a truth. Even though our judgment is the truth, but God tells us not to even do that. And we also say things like, he committed that sin, and this is evil, this is condemnation. Sometimes, even when someone committed a wrong, and we say that he committed a wrong, he is so evil, this is also condemnation. Even though someone has committed evil, someone is sinful, whether the authority to condemn belongs to God, not us. Even though our brother obviously has transgressions and he has God tells us not to this is the truth. So we should have the truth as the standard. And you have to examine your minds and words based on your... And we say things like, I know him. I've experienced him a lot. I know his character. When he makes some kind of a facial expression, I know what that means. This is judgment. Also, as I work with people, some people judge me. They think that when I say to senior pastor, she wouldn't like it. This is judgment. Even though I hear that, I would not. So, especially the church workers, when they report, they have to do it wisely. Some workers. But as they report something to me, they they miss something, so things don't go well. So I asked the church worker what happened, and that church worker is hesitating to say, but he is hesitating to say things because he is hesitating to say because if he reports that to me, he thinks that I would lose the fullness. I would lose my joy. That's why he doesn't make a report. This is judging me. He thinks that if I report it to her, she wouldn't like it. So he's judging me in advance. So I urge and press the church worker to say and report everything to me. So it turns out that the church worker misunderstood me and he didn't want to hurt my feelings. But I'm not the person who feels hurt by that kind of report. Even though I wouldn't... Because he thought that I would... Even those trivial areas, and these things are happening in your mind, but people don't think that this is a judgment. Actually, even while he was judging, and the Bible strictly warns about the judgment, and this is like making ourselves a god. So this is bad. We know that this is bad, but we don't realize that we are actually judging others. This is what the problem is. So when you hear this message, you have to check your minds and thoughts. You have to check whether you are guessing or judging others to be acting that about others. She may be thinking that way. She may be doing those that way. You have to remove such thoughts so that you can become a truthful person. When you also discover judgment and condemnation, once you discover the judgment and condemnation, you have to think about that deeply. Let's say someone has transgressions, but once you discover his transgressions, you can just pray for them, pray for him. But if you think, why is it acting that way? That is a condemnation. So, as you hear this message, you have to learn the definition of the judgment, condemnation, and apply the message to yourself. I cannot talk to you directly, and you had this kind of judgment, you had this kind of condemnation. I cannot talk to you directly, but you have to examine yourselves and based on the message, whether you are judging and condemning. Once you discover condemnation, judgment, you have... And you also have to realize that there must be many more judgment condemnation that you haven't discovered. So people are likely to judge others. Human beings are like an animal that judge and condemn things a lot. They think he's right, she's wrong. It must have been done it that way, and she. That's how they end up judging and condemning a lot. Look at the worldly people, like in the politics, they criticize a lot. In their criticism are a lot of judgment and condemnation. And as they, not just about politics, of course, and also if you haven't heard the word of truth, you must be also judging and condemning things a lot. And So yeah, once you discover the judgment condemnation, you know that you have to cast it off. When we imagine how we would feel if others gossiped about or misunderstood us, we can realize that judgment and condemnation is evil that causes others distress. Let's say you have some wrongdoings and people around you gossip about you and share your wrongdoings with others. This is judgment and condemnation. Let's say you are in that situation. How would you feel? Or if your children is in that situation, how would you feel? It would be so distressful. If you think that way, you know that judgment condemnation is such evil that cause others great distress. Let's say you judge and condemn others, and others feel that, and the relationship is broken, and as you gossip and judge others, and other people would find out, and they would feel so upset, and they would come to you and argue, hey, why did you talk about me that way? And they would feel so upset, and let's say other people gossiped about you, how would you feel? So as you pray, you have to ask for God's help. So you have to feel how bad, how evil the judgment condemnation is. You know, think about the feels. If you spray some bad ingredients and some chemicals on the field, and the field turns into a bad soil, this is great damage. So, same way, the condemnation judgment brings a bad effect on others and brings bad effect. If you have a, you have to, so that's why you have to discover them and cast it off. And moreover, the Word of God says that the authority to judge and condemn belongs to God alone. Therefore, if we judge others, this is great arrogance of making ourselves a judge. When we examine our sins by the standard of truth, we feel deeply embarrassed and recognize them as unacceptable sins. And so thus we pray with a regretful heart, and we can cast them off more easily. If we don't have any feelings about the judgment condemnation, if we don't discover the judgment condemnation in us, if we just roughly pray that, oh, Father God, please help me cast off the judgment condemnation, then how you have to know exactly why and how you are judging and condemning others, and you have to discover them, and you have to repent. And you have to say things like, Father, I made myself a judge. I'm so arrogant. You have to pray with such a regretful heart. This is true repentance. And then as time passes and as such prayers pile up, judgment, condemnation is thrown away. But if you roughly, half-heartedly pray that, Father, please help me cast it off, you cannot cast them off. You don't receive the strength to cast them off. You have to reflect deeply on yourself about sins and evil, and you have to detest them, hate them. Let's also look into hatred. Please ponder over why you are hating another person, and you have If it is because he has distressed or troubled you, meditate on the goodness of the deacon Stephen. So let's say someone gossiped you, or someone ignored you, or disrespected you. You may have some reasons to hate them, but think about the Lord's goodness. Think about the goodness of Deacon Stephen. Then you have absolutely no reason to hate him anymore. Even though you hate, you realize that it is just your excuse, your own reason, but you feel ashamed of yourself as you think about the followers of goodness. That's how we have to pray. Some people just dislike or hate others even when they have done them no wrong. That means they have a lot of hatred in themselves. As they try to cast off hatred, they will find other forms of evil. Because evil forms, evil attributes are like... So if you pray half-heartedly, you may find it difficult. So that's why you have to break down the forms of about hatred. Even though another person committed wrong, you have to love him. You have to think, why do you have to hate someone even though have in many cases hatred stems from envy and jealousy, because you have envy and jealousy towards others. Because you have envy, you feel envious of others. Because you feel envious, you feel distressed. Because you feel envious, you want others to go wrong. This is all envy and jealousy. Because you have envy, you hate and dislike others, and because they are more capable or ahead of them, they harbor envy, which develops into hatred. As I told you in the previous sessions, if you have obvious envy and jealousy and hatred, people don't like to admit that. Other people say that he's not having the fullness of the Spirit. He has lost grace. And when other people ask them, they say, "No, I haven't lost the fullness of the Spirit." And others, when other people see these things, but when they ask that person, he does not accept it. He does not acknowledge, admit himself. If you don't acknowledge yourself, you cannot change yourself. In order to... Let's say you have envy and jealousy about others and you feel envious. But even, some people don't even know that, don't even realize that he feels envious. Even though he is comparing himself to others, he doesn't know, he doesn't realize that he's comparing himself to others. This is like... Even while these people cannot admit themselves, even though they have some bad feelings or emotions. So these people, the feelings they have examined whether they have to discover the forms of evil in their feelings in light of the truth. Only then can they cast them off. Only then can they pray in a proper way. I will deliver the another. If you have wrong answers for exam, like like say you got 20 points out of 100 points, but you, these people don't even know where, what the wrong answers they gave, then how can they improve themselves? They have to know the right answer so that they can fix their problem. It's the same in the sanctification. Even though you have no fullness of the Spirit, you have some bad feelings, evil feelings, and you don't have the, but that's not because, even though he has heard a lot of messages, he has failed to discover the forms of evil. And the reason that they haven't discovered is that they, while they have to, they are so numb to their feelings, to their emotions. So that's why they cannot discover. That's why they cannot admit themselves. Because they don't. And so it all comes from the, it comes from the arrogance of not letting go of himself. If you don't, you have to know when you have lost the fullness of the Spirit, when others, so these people, when other people ask them, why I have you lost the fullness of the Spirit, they have to, when other people say that it looks like you have no joy, then you have to react. Or so if you fail to reflect on yourself, you have to talk with others and try to find out why, try to know the right answer. Let's say because you have heard the gospel of holiness, you don't physically find, but you still have the ill feelings, and you don't have an enemy, and after a while, you just resolve your ill feelings, and then you forget about that, and you get along with others again. Well, so you fail to discover the ill feelings in you, and fail to figure out why you had your feelings. And let's say you receive advice and you lose the fullness. You have to discover it, and you have to know well about your feelings, and you have to examine well your feelings. You have to know whether you have joyful, whether you are lonely, whether you are distressed, whether you have ill feelings and discomfort. You have to examine exactly how your feelings are, and you have to discover the forms of evil exactly from your feelings. And if you, nowadays, young people, they have like so people don't, if you cover yourself, you have to admit yourself, and whether when you have lost the fullness, whether you have lost the joy, you have to think this is a problem, and you, when you don't know things well, you have to pray earnestly to Holy Spirit. You have to say, Father God, it feels like I'm not filled up with the Holy Spirit, but I don't know why. The Holy Spirit, please help me. You have to pray, really pray that way. You shouldn't just pray like, Father, please give me the sanctification. You shouldn't just, but you have to pray honestly, so honestly. Father, I don't feel good. I don't know what this is. Holy Spirit, please help me. You have to pray that way. So you have to discover the forms of evil and ill feelings. And once you discover them, you have to reflect on them deeply and cast them off. And you, once you discover envy and jealousy, you discover that your hatred comes from those feelings. Hatred comes from the envy and jealousy. When other people prosper, some people think because when other people prosper, when other people are recognized, you should have the humbleness of looking after them. I mean, resembling them, but you just think because they met good parents, that's why they prosper. This is the heart of envy and jealousy, and they don't acknowledge their achievement, and they don't acknowledge their good points, merits, and you. Because you have the Father God helping you. Father God is the origin of wisdom and understanding. You have to realize that you ignore Father God, and you ignore Father God and feel envious of others. So, and your envy and jealousy develop into hatred. So when another person was praised, you didn't feel happy, and you gossiped about him, and you don't like him. Like when someone who you are hating are offering special praise, you don't like to hear that. You, as these things are piled up, so you have to, when you hate, of course, because you may have your own reasons for hatred, but still you shouldn't hate. Also, in order to cast off hatred, I mean, in our relationship with others, ill feelings can pile up. But you have to change them into love, then, and as you, and you, and you, another, as you deeply reflect on yourself, you realize that when you thought that another person is hating you, you are already condemning and judging you. And you also discover that you had a misunderstanding, even though another person really hated you and distressed you, but as you apply the word of truth, you feel like it's nothing, and you feel ashamed of yourself hating another person, and so later, no matter the circumstance, you don't hate. That's why we are reflecting ourselves, and so you have to. And so hatred contains envy and jealousy. So as you deeply look into yourself,
하나하나 풀어봤더니 미움이라는 것도 결국은 너무나 쉬운 문제 해결이 될 수 있습니다. 그렇게 해가면 결국 미움도
As you do that way, the hatred will go away. However, if you are a church worker, you don't express hatred evidently. Instead, you disguise hatred as discomfort. You think, I just don't get along with that person. We have different opinions. That's why I'm not making peace with them. That's why I'm not working, uniting with them. You give excuses like that. Or you notice many things to fix in another person and talk about them with others, pretending is for his improvement. But if you reflect in the truth, you can discover envy or resentment deep in your heart. About an incident, you may think, what does the word of truth teach us? When you have, you find that it's this is a gossiping. This is having discomfort. This is a lacking of love. But if you don't realize that you are wrong, you cannot have peace. You cannot achieve love. Even if it's not hatred, you are lacking love and respect. You have to discover such evil and realize that it is deeply ill-natured. Sometimes I say, you have to know that lacking of love is also hatred. This is how I did. So, if you don't cherish others, but lacking of love, if you are lacking love, I mean, because you have evil, you have, you don't cherish others. You, when you have good things, you don't want to share it with them. You have to think about lack of love. I mean, think about the others around you. You have to know whether whether you are cherishing others, but whether you are trying to avoid them, whether you don't want to be with them. You may think this is not hatred, but you have to discover in what form the hatred is being manifested. You have to admit and discover that. And you have to discover such evil and realize that it is deeply ill-natured. However, if you keep giving an excuse, saying, I don't feel that way, or it's not hatred, you can never change. When you self-justification is the opposite of admitting yourself. As you deeply reflect on yourself, you have to admit. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 tells us, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Those who don't love doesn't know God. And if you don't love someone, that means you have no love of God in yourself. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 reads, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother when he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Not loving itself is wrong, the Bible tells us. Even though you don't have obviously evil hatred, if you don't love, as you hold on to such words and reflect on yourselves, you cannot help but bitterly repent with tears. As you reflect on yourself and forms of evil with the standard of the truth, you become more desperate and begin to hate and detest evil. As you pray with such a heart, how could evil not be cast off? And not loving others, even though it feels like you have obviously no hatred, but if you don't love, if you don't sacrifice yourself for others, then you have to hold on to such words. If you find yourself without love, it's like you have no God in yourself. So you have to love. But some people find it difficult to love. God tells us to love, but why can't you love? And then you realize that because you have hatred, you cannot love. Also, when you encounter a trial, it's important to reflect on the reason. Whether the trial comes as discipline for sin or as a process for transformation, why your trouble came, why is your prayer not answered? You, in such times of trials and difficulties, you have to know why. Sometimes it comes as a sin, sometimes it comes to change you. These are forms. There are purposes of each trial. There is a divine purpose behind it. There are certain ways God wants you to be changed. That's why you improve through trials and you don't have to go through the same trials again. But if you don't know why, don't even know why you are going through trial, and if you just justify yourself and give excuses, like when you have catch a cold, and when you catch a cold, and when you catch a cold, and some people say, because the weather was cold, because it's getting colder. Because another person in my coworker got a cold. This is like self-justification. Even though you have such a trivial problem, you have to know why you caught a cold and reflect on yourself. This is a blessing. Last week, I dropped a ball and it crashed, and it was, and I realized that when I take out the
I saw some people smiling, so she may share the same experience. I realized that this is not good because I was hurrying, And then someone sent me a food. I was trying to organize. And one of the ball fell and crashed on the floor. There were pieces of glass falling all over the floor, and I realized that Father God gave it an awakening. And actually, because I didn't consider it as, and yep. I realized that I was not cautious enough, and I reflected on myself and made a resolve, and I kept that incident, kept that in my mind. But if I just didn't take it seriously, and but I try to figure out what problem I had spiritually, and try to even I examine myself that way. And anyway, I was really thankful, and I tried to find the reasons for Thanksgiving. I also discovered my mistake and kept that in mind. That's how you resolve your problems. But if you just let it pass and just consider it just an ordinary mistake, it can develop into bigger problems. Whether you face some situation, big or small, sometimes you make mistake. Then you have to fix such habits, then you won't have those. If the trial came because you did not pray, then when you resolve to pray without ceasing and put it into practice, the trial will come to an end. While the trial came because you lack joy and gratitude, if you merely say, "I'm sorry, I'll do better," without figuring out the reason, the trial will inevitably last longer. And you say that, "Father God, I'm sorry," but you don't know what you are sorry about. You just merely say, "I'm sorry, I will do better." Then it can develop into, and then the trial will last longer. And the same kind of trial may come again. Thus, when you face hardships or tests, you must pray with the Holy Spirit to find precisely what you need to repent of, turn back, and be transformed. When you live your life of faith with such self-reflection, you can improve and become sanctified day by day through trials and tests. But as for those who do not reflect on themselves, even if they realize that their trial came because of a fault and repent, because they do not identify the exact problem, their change is slow even after the trial. And they may go through the same trial again for the same reason. So when you lose the fullness, if the trials and difficulties grow, and you pray. And you pray and repent, and you try to discover the fullness, but let's say you may not have obvious sins evidently visible, but you have to improve you have to remove even the things of the flesh, even the fleshly thoughts. You have to discover even them and improve. But if you stay stagnant, if you stop, in the face of a trial, even if you try to pray, but you don't realize that you have stopped circumcising your heart. So the trial, the same kind of trial may come again. That's why they stagnate. Therefore, when you face a hardship or trial, apply the truth to discover yourself and take it as an opportunity for quick transformation. Yet, not every trial comes because of sin. Some trials are given so that you may grow into deeper goodness and faith. In such cases, you have to reflect on how much you have acted in faith, goodness, and love. There may be someone who hates you and speaks ill of you, even though you have done nothing wrong. At such times, you may not harbor hatred, but you feel discouraged and sorrowful. Although this is not evil, when compared to the forefathers of faith, it reveals a heart that is so small and lacking in faith and love. You have to discover these things, fix these things, and achieve a heart of truth and spirit. That's why God allows you some trial. There may be people around you who feel envy and jealousy, and when you face such moments, you have to check whether you are trying to understand him, whether you are hating, whether you have no hatred or discomfort, whether you feel discouraged, whether you felt. With such reflection, you improve yourself. Sometimes we face envy and jealousy. Sometimes we face hatred from others. Sometimes we face trouble. But if you just don't take them seriously, but in those situations, you have to change into a man of truth. This is how God is cultivating us. So we shouldn't miss that. It's not that you hate another person, but in light of the man of the truth, you can discover shortcomings. In order to discover them, you have to reflect in the truth, and you have to in those situations, you should have the forefathers of faith as your standard. And when you are as you look at yourself, you look at your mind and look at your thoughts, even though it is not evil, but then there are different levels of goodness, different levels of love, and in a lot of those levels, you have to discover yourself, and until we meet our Lord, we have to keep pressing on. We have to keep improving in goodness and love. One of the situations in your Christian life that you must examine and reflect on is when you have lost joy and feel weary. Some people may not admit that they have no joy. Some people feel that they want to rest. They want to live quietly. They want to be away from people. They want to live in an isolated place. I don't want to be seen by others. You have to admit that this is all feeling discouraged. Some people say that they cannot pray well. They want to be away from to somewhere. When they feel like they have lost joy and gratitude,
you should remember the love, the times when you were filled with the Spirit. I mean, everyone faces moments when they feel weary and want to rest. Yet, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is not so. You desire to devote yourself more and to attend every place where grace is found. However, as you spend more years as a Christian and take on greater duties, there may come a time when you feel weary and want to take a break. And that's how in your, maybe deep in your heart, you may have hope for heaven. You know that better, you have to go to a better place in heaven, but you don't really think about heaven. I mean, you don't really. But in your daily life, you don't. When you are filled up with the Spirit, they say when they were waiting for the bus at the bus stop, and when they were at the bus stop waiting for the bus, and the bus arrives right away, and they are very thankful. Father God, you love me, and you're sending me the bus right away so that I am not late. And when it rains, you didn't bring an umbrella, but as soon as when you are in the bus, it is pouring, but as soon as you get off the bus, it doesn't pour, or the rain stops. You consider every moment as God's love, but if you are not filled up with the Spirit, even though you can find God's love, you don't feel God's love. You just consider it. You don't think of it as special, but you have to have discovered the problem from yourself. When you have no joy, when you have no fullness, you have to consider it a problem and try to discover the reason. But if you don't reflect, people who don't reflect, even while they have their problem, but if you do not reflect on yourself, you may say, I don't have any other problem. I just need some rest. At such a time, you must examine whether you are filled with the Holy Spirit and find a reason why you are not. And people say that autumn is the season of loneliness. And autumn is the season where some people are sensitive to a specific season. This is also because of the lack of the fullness of the Spirit. You know, you can just feel the providence of creation from the season, but why do people feel lonely or before at a specific season or time? When you feel lonely, it's because you are lacking fullness. Some people feel lonely a lot. It's because you don't think about our groom. You have to also, people depend on others so much. But they have to be in the. When I used to think that Miss Mong Nim Ni was, because she's my mother, when I had some trouble, I talked with Miss Mong Nim Ni, at some point I realized I have to talk to about this to God. I have to pray, but I just saying things to my mother, my Miss Bong Nim Ni. I was complaining. I was expressing my how I was. But some
at some point, I was complaining, expressing a lot of complaints to my mother. So I prayed, Father, let me not be a person. If I am too dependent on my mother, if I am trying to solve the problem through mother, please forgive me. Let me rely you alone. I used to pray like that. So loneliness, feeling lonely is also not good. You have to pray. It's because you are not thinking about our groom. It's because you shouldn't rely on P. I was if you are dependent on the people, at times you feel lonely, and this is also a reason for losing the fullness of the Spirit. If you feel lonely, if you are find yourself lonely, but you have to be satisfied with the Lord alone. You have to be confident, and you have to be always joyful because of our Lord. When I was in my 40s, late 40s, I've discovered some sources of joy. When I cooked a meal and find it delicious, I was happy. And I made some kimchi stew and it was delicious. I made some Chinese maratang and I found it delicious. And I discovered a source of joy from these trivial things. But if you are too dependent on people, you have to instead pray to God. If you complain, you make confessions of lacking faith. And if you have a married couple, husband and wife should be independent. But if they are too dependent, they are not. When you have a problem, you shouldn't just always seek counsel, but you have to pray and seek help from the Holy Spirit. Make sure there's no loneliness. If you have loneliness, it's easy for you to lose the fullness. At such a time, you must examine whether you're filled with the Holy Spirit and find the reason why you're not. You may feel weary because after serving faithfully, you were not praised. That's why you lost the fullness. This could be one of the reasons. If so, that is a fleshly attribute, a desire to be acknowledged. As you reflect in the truth, you realize that you feel weary, you are not joyful, and it's because you are not recognized. When you meet worldly friends, unbelieving friends who enjoy themselves and rest to their heart's content, you may feel envious. Wow, I feel envious. I have to go to dinner permitted, but he is always enjoying himself at night. After a while, you are to check whether you've lost the fullness of the Spirit and repent. It's because you brought in the fleshly, such fleshly thoughts. Such fleshly thoughts remain in you, and even as you pray, and you cannot pray as fervently as before, and you gradually take in worldly things that you cut off. And you have to discover where problem began, and you have to so you have to pray, Father, forgive me. I was envious looking at the worldly plans. I have to know that why did I feel envious looking at my worldly friends? I have lost the hope for heaven. Please forgive me. If you pray earnestly that way, you will again get filled up with the Spirit. But otherwise, you just don't consider it as serious and just forget about that. And then the losing fullness of the Spirit will stay longer. If you, otherwise, that lost of fullness may not be momentary, but continue. If you do not find a reason to repent, you cannot recover your first love. Therefore, instead of saying, I'm just a bit tired, or I just want to rest for a while, make it a habit to reflect on your spiritual condition accurately. As written in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The enemy devil leaves you alone. The enemy devil never leaves you alone when you lose the fullness of the Holy Spirit or cease to pray. Thus, as 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. May you always be spiritually awake. If you pray half-heartedly, if you don't receive the fullness of the Spirit, if you don't pray fervently, you have to know the why, and you have to resolve the problem, and then you have to, so that the loss of the Holy Spirit may not last longer. So you have to get back up again and improve. Let me conclude a message, brothers and sisters. Just as people say that good habits lead to success, a life of self-reflection, a habit of self-reflection, enables you to achieve sanctification and spirit, but making it your habit requires continual effort. You need to practice examining your actions, words, thoughts, and heart. If you speak harshly and simply move on, or if you feel uncomfortable and soon forget about it, you cannot discover the evil within. After you speak, reflect on your words. Were they mixed with evil emotions? Were they spoken out of self-interest or pride? Do not overlook even passing thoughts, but reflect on them. Were they judgments? Were they ill feelings? Are there some among you who think, do I really have to go that far in making efforts? We have to do that to resemble our Lord, who is without spot or blemish. If we try to do that on our own, it will be so arduous. But as we pray and receive the Holy Spirit's help, we are well able to do it. Once we make a habit, we won't find it difficult. I also urge you to make the effort with hope for heaven. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13 tells us, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in the holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Those who have such hope are advised in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. May all of you also adorn yourselves beautifully as God's children and as the Lord's bride through a life and habit of self-reflection. By doing so, I pray in our Lord's name that you will dwell in glory in everlasting heaven.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.